what our purpose is as a child of God. And we started this a few weeks ago, and we're going to continue looking at this over the next several weeks. The first week we looked at praying, what we should be praying for, how we should pray, and the way in which that God has taught us to pray, and the way that He normally answers. It could be all different types of answers for us. We looked at you, and that was simply the people that God uses, those that are willing to be used by God, those that are faithful to the calling that God has for them. And then we moved into R for last week, which is reconciliation, making something right, restoring something. Restoration would be the exact word used, but the same idea of bringing something together and making it right. This morning we're going to be looking at the P, and simply, which is simply the word of perseverance, learning to persevere. Learning to persevere through the hard times, through the difficult times, in a way that brings honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us have had to persevere through some difficult things in life, probably. Things that were expected, things that were not expected, things that caught you by surprise, things that you knew were coming and maybe you wasn't ready for that in that particular time. But as we prepare to look at James 1, 2, and following, I wanted to think about an introduction in a way that I believe James was trying to get us to understand. I want to tell you something about God that you probably have never thought of. Maybe you have. It's something that's new to me. When you look at God and who God is, you see that God is a strange teacher. God doesn't teach the way that teachers teach today. God often gives the test first, and then He gives the lesson. He often gives the test, then He gives the lesson. Well, teachers today are normally, if they're doing it the right way, from what I understand, and when you are married to a teacher, that's all they talk about. But when you understand a teacher there, they are preparing and trying to prep the students and to be prepared for that test. I know that in public schools, for sure, they emphasize that state testing of whether or not they can move forward or need to be held back or whatever it may be. And some of you this morning, you might be right in the middle of the test. You might be right in the middle of a trial. You might be right in the middle of a valley, and you have no idea what the lesson is going to be. I want you to know that this is not abnormal in the way in which God functions. It's not abnormal that you are in the middle of this, and you may not quite understand what is taking place at your particular time in your life. You think about those things. We think about the trials, the heartaches, and normally we come out on the other side. Sometimes we come out with gratefulness. We're excited because we're no longer in that season. Sometimes we come out wondering what happened, why it took place. Sometimes we come out as we preached last Sunday and we're bitter. We're bitter of the things that we're facing. We're bitter of the things that we are going through in life. Look in James with me for just a moment, kind of setting the stage, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, which is simply different temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Very important that that word patience there, you understand, that means maturity. But let patience have her perfect work, and that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You think about those few verses this morning, 2, 3, 4, and 5, really 2 and 3. And we think about it, the questions of how many of us desire strength? How many of us need strength this morning to face the things that we are facing? How many of us want victory? How many of us know we're excited? Some of you guys are because of college football yesterday and who won and who didn't and some of those type things. We desire victory. We want to win. We want to come out on the other side. Many of us want prosperity. We want to make sure that we're okay, that we're taken care of, that we're taken care of, that we are prosperous in the things in our life. All of us do. But on the other end of the spectrum there, based on verse 2 and 3, how many of us desire tribulations? How many of us desire hardships? How many of us desire to go through the tough times and the difficult times? Let's be honest, none of us do. Nobody sitting here this morning says, you know what, I'm excited about this tribulation or this tough time that I'm facing. Won't you just keep them coming there, God? I'm really enjoying this. Nobody wants that. Nobody desires to go through those things. But when you look here and understand what the verse is saying, it is tribulation that works patience, which simply and literally means to persevere, to make it through the end, to run the race and receive the prize that God has for us. I asked you a few moments ago about those questions of wanting strength and victory and prosperity, and I believe each and every one of you would agree with that. Each and every one of you desire that strength. You desire that victory. You desire that prosperity. But the word here for patience I mentioned a moment ago is simply the idea of maturity. But the Greek word that's used here means to bind under, to be bound by something. So as a believer this morning, regardless if you're in a tribulation and you're in a trial, you are to bind under what God has for you. I'm not saying let the burden win. I'm not saying allow yourself to be defeated. I'm saying stay where you are because God is walking alongside you and God is going to make sure that you're taken care of as you walk under those type of things. When you think about that idea, those certain burdens, we must understand that abiding under these, and if we do not abide under those for God's glory, then we're not going to be able to abide under anything else or be over anything else. We must understand that. We'll look at that in just a moment. And when you look at these verses of persevering, we need to work by faith. We need to praise God by faith. We need to continue to endure by faith. And also, something I think we all struggle with, we need to wait by faith. Waiting is very difficult. Waiting is very hard. Last night, for instance, I took Marley to get ice cream and went to Bops, and the line was like five cars long. And about 3 minutes in, she's like, "Dad, I'm aggravated." "Why are you aggravated, Marley? You're four." "Because there's so many cars here. It's taking too long." I'm thinking to myself, she is exactly like Lindsay. But as you look at that idea there and what's happening, we need to wait. But when you look at that idea, guys, listen to this. How humiliating it is that we never reach the goal of perseverance because we quit too soon. How humiliating is it that we throw our hands up and say that I'm done, that I cannot go on. God, I'm walking away. God, I don't want to continue down this path even though I believe it's my purpose and I want to quit. I want to just say, you know what, I'm done. And guys, I want you to know that humiliates us as individuals who call themselves believers, but that also, I believe, humiliates our God because we are doubting the sovereignty and the plan that God has for us, that we think we know what is better and what we should do. The reason this happens, quitting too soon, is because we have not learned how to endure through the hardships. We have not learned how to persevere through the tough times. Look there with me for just a moment in James 1:2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Temptations literally means here trials or testings. Things in which you're prepared for, things in which you are not, as I mentioned a moment ago. The divers temptation, which is the King James translation that I preach out of, different temptations. What does this mean? Should we praise God that I'm being tempted? The answer is absolutely not. We should not be praising God that we're being tempted. The word may be used in this particular context as a temptation, or the same word may be used as a trial or a testing. So I want you to shift your head or shift your mind for just a moment to what this word actually means. We're not going to be looking at it from a temptation standpoint. We're going to be looking at it how to persevere through a trial or a testing. Simply remember this. We receive the test from God and the temptation from the devil. Don't get them confused. We receive the test from God and the temptation from the devil. Do not get the idea this morning that our God is tempting you to sin. Please understand that. Do not get the idea this morning that our God is tempting you to sin. Satan, however, on the other hand, is desiring to tempt you. He's desiring to see you fail and to fall. Move with me to verse 13 of James 1, and that explains the thought that I just gave you. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God will not tempt us. And if he did, that would be the perfect excuse of why we sin. So we must understand that. He's not going to tempt us, so you don't have the ability nor do you have the authority to say that you're sinning because God is tempting you to do those things. But when you look at this idea, and many of you can understand, Satan will tempt you and cause you to stumble, where God will test you and cause you to stand. Satan will tempt you and cause you to stumble, where God will test you and cause you to stand. Many of us have fallen because of temptation of the devil. Many of us are standing upright because of the test in which God has given us, and we are moving through and going toward the idea of that perseverance. So I want you to know this morning that if you have stumbled, there is hope that you can stand again, and that standing ability is found in and through Jesus Christ as long as you are moving toward perseverance. Very important, verse 2 of James 1 again. It says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. It doesn't say if you're tempted. It says when you're tempted. It doesn't say, hey, you know what, if you are ever tempted, it is when. And guys, every single one of you every day, including myself, are tempted to do things that we know we are not supposed to do. We are tempted to do things that we know God is not delighting in us to do, but He is desiring for us to go around those temptations with the power of His Word through the armor of God, in which the Bible talks about, so that we can come out on the other side. Most of you know this morning, who are believers, that the Christian life is not easy, and you'd probably agree with that. For a moment, I want you to think about Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says this, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh peace. And we understand, what does that verse mean? That verse says, when you pray for patience, do not be afraid of the tribulations that you're going to face. As a Christian, as I mentioned a moment ago, you know that you're going to face difficult times, and you have already probably faced difficult times. If you go through disappointments or heartaches or anguish, listen to this. It does not necessarily mean that you have done anything wrong. It can simply mean that God's word is true. Sometimes we think when someone messes up, we sit back like we're holy and say, yep, I told you you shouldn't have done that, like we're the ultimate judge. Or we sit back and we say, you know what? That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to take place. That's the direction that you're going to go. Do not think this morning that because someone is going through a difficult time, a heartache, a disagreement, or anguish, it's because they have done something wrong. It can simply mean, based on James 1:2, that here at this particular moment, you're going through the different temptations. You've heard it said many times as you walk through life that the faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. The faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And many of you sitting here this morning can say, buddy, if you only knew how many times my faith have been tested. If you only knew how many times the things that God has called me to do that I believe I've been backed into a corner, whether it be my decision or not. But I want you to also know that if it can be tested, it can be trusted, because your faith is found in someone other than yourself, and His name is Jesus Christ, as a believer. The faith that you possess is far greater than the faith of a non-believer. A non-believer's faith is that in man, which will let you down, where a believer's faith is in that of God, which is ultimately perfection. Five things this morning I want you to think about as we walk through and move toward a perseverance of our purpose. Number one, enjoyment. Rejoice in the Lord. Enjoyment. Rejoice in the Lord. That verse I read to you a moment ago, 1:2, they'll put it up in just a moment there. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. This does not mean, as my grandmother would say, hey, Bobby Everett, just grin and bear it. It doesn't mean just grin and bear it. It means rejoice. It means be excited. Be happy when that comes. You say, well, Bobby, that's almost impossible. Well, guys, no, it's really not. We must understand that when we go through these difficult times and we come out on the other side, we should know that that allows us to rejoice, because if God gives a test and we overcome, overcoming Christians are joyful Christians. Have you ever met a bitter Christian? We preached on it last week. Or have you ever met a Christian that's just mad at the world all the time, it seems like? That they just seem like nothing's going right. They're mad at God. They're mad at life. They're mad at their family. They're mad at whatever it may be. And when you think about that idea, guys, I want you to know that when we allow ourselves to possess the joy that God grants us in overcoming, we will understand what it means to be a joyful Christian. Most of you Christians, listen to this, that are moping around are being defeated by things in their life rather than claiming victory in those things in and through Jesus Christ. We've been there. Trials are difficult. It is extremely hard to rejoice in the midst of a hardship, in the midst of heartache, or whatever it may be. Barbara Jones once said, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. And we've been pain, we've been there. But think about that word misery for just a moment. Just as bitterness, I said last week, you can choose to be bitter and your bitterness affects everyone around you. You can choose to be miserable this morning and your misery affects everyone around you. And I believe that's the problem of why You cannot experience enjoyment. It's because you're miserable. You're miserable because things aren't going your way. You're miserable because things are maybe going in one direction where you think it should be going another. Or you can look at Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. What the Bible tells us at midnight, they began to sing joy. They were excited about what God was doing in the middle of a jail cell. Listen, Paul and Silas sang praises to God. Here we are in the middle of the body of believers in Flowood Baptist Church, and we are not excited. Why? Because we are miserable in the things in which we are doing. So don't sit here and say this morning that we are excited, that we are singing praises to God, when we are really miserable because of what's happening. Hebrews 10:34 says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." We must rejoice and have joy unspeakable. To persevere, the things that we face in life, when we walk through those things, allows us to possess the joy in which God is calling us to do. Look at Paul. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:4. "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all tribulations." Paul, you know the story. Saul to Paul, conversion, road to Damascus, killed multiple Christians, greatest missionary of all time, probably after that of Jesus Christ himself. But he understood in Corinthians chapter 7 that he is filled in comfort. Why? Because of who God is. He is enjoying the tribulations because he knows perseverance allows him to grow closer to Jesus Christ. Number two, enlargement. Enlargement, very important part, I believe, of this particular message. We mature during trials. We mature through trials. Look at verse 4 with me. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I made a mention a moment ago of a particular quote of how humiliating it was when we quit before we reach our goal. We quit because of things are going in our life, whatever it may be. But many of you this morning have not reached or experienced perseverance for God's glory because you have not matured enough. A maturing Christian understands enjoyment, and a maturing Christian understands enlargement. Now, when you go to verse 4 there of James 1, you'll see the word perfect. The word perfect here, when you look at it and study it, does not mean sinless. The Bible says that Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through suffering, for he was not made sinless through suffering. He was already perfect and sinless. The word perfect here means mature. It's kind of like an acorn or acorn, if you say it like I do. You look at an acorn in deer season, y'all know that they eat those things. But when an acorn grows and it receives the water and it germinates and all those things, what does it do? It matures into a humongous, normally, oak tree. Oak trees that are really old, they're pretty, whatever it may be. The problem is, for many of us this morning, we're still the acorn on the ground being trampled by men. That we're not allowing ourselves to mature. We're not allowing ourselves to grow. And I'm talking about maturing and growing based on what God says, not on which you think is important or what I think is important. Look at Psalm 4, verse 1. If you've ever gone through stress, I want you to mark this in your Bible, write it down so you can have it, because you're going to face it if you have not. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Notice this verse, very important. We grow under stress. You would say, "Well, Bobby, if you knew the amount of stress I was under, I can't grow much more." Guys, yes, we can. Understand that verse, that when you have grown the most, or when I have grown the most, I can speak for myself. When I've grown the most, it was in times in my life in which I was under the most stress, of which I was facing the battles of the fiery darts from all directions, whether it be people here, people there, whatever it may be. And as you think about those ideas, those problems, the stress, that heartache, that headache, whatever it is, we grow and we mature when times were tough. When you think about that statement, enlargement, maturing through trials, understanding what's taking place, let me give you maybe an image of your mind. A young preacher, me for instance, surrendered to preach at 15, moved up here when I was 23, was voted in as pastor at 29, not very normal in the Baptist church. But you have ideas simply of, you know what, he's too young. He's not experienced enough. He needs to grow. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. All well and good. Don't take that wrong. 3 years ago, I took offense to that. Today, it's called maturity. I'm just going to walk right through that right where I'm at now. But when you look at that idea, I want you to know that we look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6, which is a reference about preachers, and it says simply, not a novice, let him be lifted up with pride. He fall in the condemnation of the devil. So if you sat back and you said, you know what, he was picked too green, or he was chosen too young, or he needs to mature, or he needs to do this, or he needs to do that, I want you to really understand this. You're basing that off of your opinion and not the calling of God. You're basing that off what you believe and not the calling in which God has placed on that person's life. Now, when you think about this, what about this next statement? You remember when you called out to God and you said, God saved me? You remember praying that maybe in your mama's bedroom floor or the altar of a church? Aren't you glad that God in his sovereignty didn't look at you and say, hey, you know what, Gary, you're too young. Let me let you grow a little bit. Aren't you thankful he didn't sit back and cross his arms and say, you know what, I'm against him because he's too young, or I'm against him because he don't like to wear a tie or whatever else. Aren't you thankful God said yes immediately? Hey, right? Aren't you thankful? You can get excited about that, but the problem is you don't get excited because many of us, listen, are not understanding maturity. We're still sitting back and saying, you know what? I don't like the direction in which they are going. I don't like the direction in which we are moving. I don't like the vision in which the pastor has or whatever it may be. And the problem is, once again, you are basing what you think the church should be rather than what the Bible is calling the church to be. Number three, enlightenment. We gain wisdom. Enlightenment, we gain wisdom. Follow with me in 4 and following. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all things. Let's be honest. When we go through the difficult times and trials, what do we need to do? We need to ask for wisdom. Think about Job. Job reasons with God. Job had everything. He lost pretty much everything. And he began to reason with God of what he should do or what he thought God should do. You fill in the blank, however you want to look at that. And then finally, God begins asking Job questions in which Job can't answer without what? The wisdom of God. And we must understand that instead of asking why, we must remember who. Instead of asking why things are happening, we must understand the who. And that allows us to know exactly what wisdom is all about. That when we ask for wisdom, we're asking God to show us what we need so that we can understand what we are to do. Think about a counselor. We have people in this church who are counselors. Maybe you've been to counseling before or whatever it may be. What's a counselor's job? Normally, a counselor's job, I believe, is to find the problem, what triggers it, how you can manipulate yourself around it so that it doesn't come up and you have to face it. But I don't believe a counselor's job is to be the solution. Why? Because if it becomes a solution, the people that are coming to the counselor are going to be dependent upon the what? Counselor. So as we walk through life, we're asking for wisdom so that we can understand who is the one we are to go to. It is a mark of maturity when we stop asking why and remembering who. It shows that we are growing in our faith. I've said many times in sermons and funerals that I don't think it's wrong to ask why. I don't think it's wrong to ask why, God, you take them so soon, or God, why did this allow you to allow this to happen, or whatever you may want to put in there. But I believe that when we start doubting the sovereignty of God, the question of why begins to become a sin. Because we must always remember the who, and God's sovereignty is far greater than you and me. Where I just read there in James 1, verse 6 allows us to know that you can pray and know that God will give you wisdom. And I'm telling you, over the last, say, 6 months, your pastor has prayed for wisdom, and he's asked for wisdom from those around him of what we should do in the direction that we need to go. In faith, you know and can understand that God will answer your prayer. So wisdom allows us to know we can pray. Faith allows us to know that God will answer. But the Bible tells us there to not be a wave. A wave is treacherous. Don't be tossed from one side or the other. Don't switch different parties when you're around certain people. Be the same person all the time. When you think about this idea, did you know that knowledge and wisdom comes from God? I'm talking about godly knowledge and godly wisdom. Knowledge is learned from looking around. Wisdom is learned from looking up. Knowledge comes by studying. By wisdom comes by praying. I think we get those two things confused at times. We think that the knowledge of the world trumps the wisdom of God. And we focus on what maybe another church is doing or another direction in which they're going, that we're missing the wisdom that God is trying to grant to us so that we can move forward in a way of persevering and understanding. Remember simply this. In trials, in difficult times, you learn a lot more than when the sun's shining. When you're going through heartaches, when you're going through hardships, you learn a lot more than when the sun is shining. Number four, enthronement. Enthronement. God will give you the crown of life. God will give you the crown of life. Read with me verse 12 of James 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Think about that verse with me for just a moment. He will be crowned as a king. He's not talking about a crown when we get to heaven. I believe he's talking about a crown right now. Look at Romans 5:17, and I believe it helps us understand it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You study Paul, what Paul taught. And Paul taught that God wanted us to have dominion over all these things. But we must understand this next statement. You will never learn to be over until you learn to be under and endure. You'll never learn to be over until you learn to be under and endure. I want you to know that whatever you're facing in your life today, you might have never faced it in your life before, but perseverance in and through God allows you to endure and allows you to come out from under those things so that you can look back on top of the mountain, looking at the valley, and say, it's because of God that you stand here with boldness today. We must understand the importance of being under God Himself first, being under the will of God, being under the purpose in which God has for us. But many of us in church life today, we want to go ahead and receive the reward. We want to go ahead and receive the benefit. But we must understand that if you do not bear the cross, you cannot wear the crown. If you do not bear the cross, you cannot wear the crown. Now, will I help you bear the cross? Will Barry, will Keith, will your deacons? Yeah, I believe we will. I believe we will help you walk through life and the things in which you're facing. But we must understand, church, that we oftentimes want the crown. We want the trophy, but we don't want to go through the hard times. In life, when the trials come, we must get under and stay under the calling of God. Proverbs 25 says it like this in verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means simply this, that if we do not learn how to control ourselves, control our spirits with our human spirit with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are like a city without walls, which what gives us what image? That it's going to be destroyed, that the enemies are going to come, that those around you are going to maybe attack you, and you will be destroyed if you do not put that parameter on your spirit. Last thing this morning, back in verse 4, is simply enrichment. Enrichment. God provides for all of our needs. God provides for all of our needs. Verse 4. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Want nothing. How would you like to come to a place in your life that you don't want anything? Many of you, especially senior adults, you'd say something like, you know what, I've got healthy kids and grandkids, or maybe even great-grandkids, or maybe even great-great-grandkids, and you consider and say, you know what, I've lived a good life. There is nothing else that I want. According to this particular verse, that this is exactly what this means, that there is maybe nothing else that you want. But when you think about this, do not think that this is talking about a key to a fortune, that everything that you want fleshly or materialistically or whatever it may be. If you want to know how rich you are this morning, it's really easy. Add up everything that you have that money can't buy and that debt cannot take away. If you want to look how rich you are this morning, add up everything that you cannot buy with money and debt cannot take away. At the end of the day, guys, when everything else is gone, all that matters, the only investment that you know that you will receive a return on is investing in your soul for salvation and investing in the kingdom for God's glory. Understanding, enduring, and persevering. Move with me for just a moment to James 5. Verses 7 and 8. James 5, 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Husbandman, you study this in this particular verse of the scripture, means the farmer or the vine dresser. Remember, you cannot hurry the harvest. It takes work. Just because you're putting that ping pong ball in there and you're having gospel conversation after gospel conversation after gospel conversation, I want you to know, hopefully, by God's providence, sooner or later, that conversation is going to turn into salvation because you see the importance of the conversation in the first place. There's two phrases or words I want you to think about in verse 7. The former rain and the latter rain. Very important in biblical times. The former rain is in the fall. It allows the seeds to germinate. The latter rain is in the spring, which causes the grain to swell up and get ready for the harvest. Both are very important. Both are very important. You may be the one in the fall that are planting the seeds. Ronnie may come behind you and be the latter rain, that of the spring, which allows it to germinate. And then we see what takes place, that there is growth and salvation, which allows us to understand that the Bible makes it clear that we have to endure and persevere to reap the harvest. Think about it like this, just a moment. If you desire to be enriched this morning, and you desire to grow in your faith and to persevere in a way that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ, as I said before, we often want it now. We want to rush things. That's why in life we emphasize money so much and how good your credit score is and all those type things. And that's why a lot of people get in trouble with credit cards. Why? Because what are they doing? They're spending money that they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like. Let's be honest. That's what happens to a lot of people. They're spending money they don't have, buying things they don't need to impress people they don't like. And I can tell you guys, that happens oftentimes. Why? Because we would rather have the approval of man rather than the guidance of the Spirit. We'd rather you tell me it's okay than for me to know that I'm in the will of God. Think about this old hymn with me in closing. When through fiery trials thy pathway should lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design the dross to consume and thy gold to refine. I thought about singing that this morning, but I thought that was probably better not to do that. But as you think about that idea, my grace is all sufficient. The grace of God is all that you need, guys. So understand your purpose. You may say this morning, Pastor, Bobby, whatever you want to call me, don't care. I want to live this way. I want to be in God's school where God is the teacher. Because why? He gives the test, then he gives the lesson. But here's what we must understand. In order to be taught, we must be enrolled. And I'm not talking about church membership. In order to be taught, we must be enrolled. A lot of us this morning, we're focusing on church membership rather than being taught by God himself. I want you to think about perseverance. We face them. We go through them. I do, you do. Just because you're going through those does not mean that you have done anything that's out of the will of God. It could be as Job, where God looked at Satan, or Satan looked at God, however you want to look at it, and said, you know what, I want you to use my servant Job because I think he's going to be okay. And Job didn't waver. I consider it personally, now that I am maturing in my faith, that it is a privilege at times to face the trials, to face the tribulation, because I know my God goes before me, my God fights for me. We must understand this morning, without patience and perseverance, we will not experience strength, victory, or prosperity. May we learn to persevere as we go to and move toward our purpose. God, we love you for who you are. We thank you for our time together. God, my prayer this morning is that if anyone is here who doesn't know you as Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. But God, if anyone is here that's going through a tough time, that just wants to give up, God, reveal yourself in a mighty way. Allow them to know that it's not about being enrolled in church. God, it's about being enrolled in the kingdom. May we understand the importance that you are the ultimate teacher, that our lives should be guided and directed by you. God, may we seek your approval and not worry what men may say. God, I'm asking that your spirit move and you be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Man, let's stand as we sing.